Well, glory to God. Ain't that a good thing to know that He knows your name?
Amen.
No matter what happens, no matter what goes on in your life, there's someone that always cares about you. Even when you get to that moment, you feel like that no one loves me, no one cares about me. I've been sick with Chrono for 4 weeks and nobody's called me. He still knows who your name is. He knows all about you. So what a great blessing. Let's go to Word, Lord, in prayer, and then we jump into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all your wonderful blessings. Thank you for this great opportunity to come to your house and to hear some encouraging words. And thank you for the way you already spoke to us through the songs and through the fellowshipping with one another. We just thank you for that, for what great power and awesomeness you are, that you're willing to save a sinner like me. And I don't have to be the same. I don't have to do the same things, go to the same places. And when people look at me, they can notice there's a difference in us. And when we go through situations, it's a great thing to know that not only do you know our names, but you're always with us. And we just wanted to say we love you. We thank you for what you have done for us, what you are going to do for us. We just ask you to fill me with the Spirit tonight. Lord, help me only say and do that what you want me to say and do. And just have free liberty to move across the auditorium and to do what only you can do. Speak to our hearts and change our lives. Just ask you to speak to us, and we're going to give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Amen. Do want to say it is a great honor and privilege to stand in God's pulpit and preach. So thank you, Brother Rudy. And there's two places I'd like you to turn tonight. One's in Leviticus chapter 11. We're going to read one verse from there. And then we're going to jump over to the New Testament in Luke chapter number 8. Leviticus chapter number 11 and Luke chapter number 8. You know, 2020 has been quite a year. And we could just stand up here and talk about all the negativity that took place last year, from last year starting off with that huge fire, I think it was Venezuela, where it burned out most of their cities. Or we could talk about Bryant, the basketball player, dying, or from the COVID, or for all the negativity. But you know, we really step back and think about how good God was to us in 2020. We made it through, and yes, there were some down times, but think about all the good things God's brought us through. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and I believe what made the difference for at least me in 2020, I don't know the same for you, but I think what made the difference was God. I know you go to the Bible, you look at Ephesians chapter number 2, it says, those who are without Christ having no hope. Very next verse says, we brought nigh by the blood, which tells us there's only one way to God, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then that very next verse is one of the most encouraging and comforting verses that it is. It says this right here, for He is our peace. Amen. Think about that. 2020 had lots of down points, lots of up points, but I went through and I still got my sanity. Truthfully, it really wasn't that bad to me. I know I didn't have the virus and I didn't lose someone close to me, but still through it all, He was my peace. He gave me the joy I need. So I think that's the difference. I've talked to people who didn't go to church. Matter of fact, I did this job for this one lady. She's been in her house since March, and she's scared half to death. You know, I go to different pieces. Don't get me wrong. I know the virus is real. I know people die from it. I know there's different levels of it, but I wasn't worried about it because I knew God was in control because He gave me that peace. But what made a difference was I stayed in the Word, like Brother Ed said, but we also went to church. You know, there's something about going to the house of the Lord and being with other Christians and brothers. You know, Facebook is good, but you can't hug on Facebook. You can't have that personal connection on Facebook. Hey, yes, you can worship at home, but there's something about worshiping with brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the statistic is 65% of the world have no idea what it means to have a church family. There's something special about that. But God did great things through 2020. I think about our church in New Brunswick, how we averaged anywhere from 30 to 40 people, and there's only four services where we couldn't meet over in the dojo. That's all God. You hear about in California where they're getting fined thousands upon thousands of dollars. But God is still great. I preached this morning at Bible Baptist that I want to build a great church. Now, before you start thinking, I'm not talking about numbers. I can never see myself pastoring thousands of people. I can't even remember my family's names. So how am I going to remember thousands of people's names? But what I'm talking about is I want to build a great church where people love God. Where people, their number one focus is not being judgmental because someone comes in with long hair, tattoos, and well, with a cigarette out their mouth. But I want people who are concerned about people's souls. Amen. Where is that person going to die when they go to heaven? I want my people to be into the Word and be worried about other people. I want to build a great church for the Lord, and only through Christ can we do that. But here's the question, how are we going to do that? Hey, I know you want to build a great church. I want to know you want to do great things for the Lord in 2021. How are you going to do it? I believe our story tonight will tell us how we can draw close to God, how we can do the impossible through God. Leviticus chapter number 11, we're just going to look at one verse. I tell people all the time that reading throughout the Bibles, I'm not a real big reader. I read the Bible. But one book of the Bible I hate the most is the book of Leviticus. Second one is the book of Chronicles. So-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so, okay. But it's good to read through that book because there are golden nuggets throughout that chapter. But I don't like the book of Leviticus. Of course, if you sit down and think about it, you don't like somebody telling you what you can do, what you cannot do either, do you? That's what the whole book of Leviticus is. Do not do this, do not do that. So you want the blessings of God, do this. And I'm just rambling because I ain't in Leviticus yet. Leviticus, if it's still in my Bible, that's Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Leviticus chapter number 11, and we're going to read just verse number 7. It says this right here, and the swine, though he be divided, the hoof, what God is doing here is telling the children of Israel what they can eat and what they cannot eat, what they can indulge in and what they cannot indulge in. He says, the swine, though it be divided, the hoof, and be cloven hoof, yet it cheweth not the cud, it is unclean to you. I encourage you to be students of the Word. I encourage you to look up every word, every jot, and every tittle is important. You say, how do you get that, Brother Steve? Because you go back and you look in the Bible, God says this right here, not one jot nor tittle shall pass away. A jot is a period, a tittle is a comma. So he says even the periods and commas is important. So I encourage you to go back and study every word. He says the swine is unclean. If you don't know what a swine is, I brought a picture for you tonight. There is a swine. I sure am glad, Brother Tony, I don't live in the Old Testament. I love bacon. I love ham. I love pork skins. I love Boston butt. You throw that in there, throw some barbecue on top of that between two pieces of bread that makes your tongue slap the back of your head. I'd go take some pork and beans, Brother. He ain't here, but Brother John. Brother John, I like to take that pork and beans, those pinto beans, throw it in a pot with some water, take a ham hock and throw it in there and let it simmer for hours. That thing is so good. I like that sausage. But I want you to remember this right here. God told the people of the Old Testament, that swine is unclean. He says, stay away from it. Don't eat it. Don't sell it. Don't have nothing to do with it. Now look over in Luke chapter number 8. This story is found also in Matthew and Mark. Luke chapter number 8 and verse 27, it says this right here. I put this thing right here so you remember what God said, to not touch the swine. I won't put it down also because you hit it, it's going to do this all night. Put Mr. Piggy right there so you can remember he says it's unclean. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 27, it says this right here. And he went forth to land. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. He just told the parable of the sower. He went to land, and it says, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. You know, we stop here, and we start looking at this man. I have to say that this man had a problem. He had a huge problem. He had no house. He didn't wear no clothes. He didn't have no friends, and he lived in the graveyard. If that's not a problem, then I don't know what problems is. And maybe tonight you're sitting here and you got a boatload of problems. Maybe you got a problem with your husband. Maybe you got a problem with your wife. Maybe you got a problem with your siblings. Problem at work. Maybe you got health problems, money problems. I don't know, but I know we all got problems. So how do you know that, Brother Steve? Because the Bible says so. That's my favorite saying. What does the Bible say? The Bible says a man born of woman is of a few days and full of troubles. He said, Brother Steve, I don't have no problems right now. Put your seatbelt on. I don't know what 2021 is going to throw our way, but I know we're going to have some problems. But I thank God I know the keeper of the storm. I thank God I know the keeper of my soul. I thank God I know God himself, and he's going to see me through it. Verse 28 says this right here. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Here's an interesting thing to think about. This man was full of demons. We're going to later on find out his name is called Legion. These demons could not keep this man from worshiping God. Look what it says. And when they saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down therefore. If you really want to worship God, he's willing to accept your worship. Remember what the Bible says, that if we don't do it, that the rocks and the birds will rise up. You know, we got a lot to be thankful for. Yes, 2020 was bad, but thank God he was still on the throne. Thank God he carried us through, holding our hand. And guess what he's going to do in 21? He's going to hold your hand and carry you through. We got a lot to be thankful for. Only by the grace of God, we're not like those other sinners out there that's against church, that is against God. Only by the grace of God that our situation's not worse. You think you got it bad? Think about this right here. Someone always got it worse than you. You look at this man. He's living in the tombs. He's running around naked. Of course, you know, that's a picture of someone being possessed by devils. Taking off all their clothes, cutting themselves, doing things that normal people don't do. But this man came to worship God, and the devils could not stop it. You know, it takes an act to worship God. It just don't come to you. You got to prepare yourself. You got to come willing to praise the God of God and the Kings of Kings. So next time you start feeling down, next time you start throwing in the towel, I encourage you to get yourself a prayer book. In front of that prayer book, put all your prayer requests in it. In the back of that book, start putting down all the blessings and answers of prayer. And next time you start feeling down, next time you're feeling that you're all alone, start reading that prayer book and God's going to start blessing you. Then you're going to start wanting praise in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just think about it. The Creator of the earth wants a fellowship with you. The Creator of the world wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to save you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. Why would you not want to worship him? So these devils couldn't stop him. These demons knew who he was. He says that he was the Son of God. You know, that's what makes the difference between our religion and everybody else out there. That's the biggest thing, is Jesus Christ. You got one religion out there, I'm not going to call it religious, most of y'all probably know, but one religion out there says that Jesus Christ is the brother of Lucifer. Another religion out there had to tell you that Jesus Christ was just a good prophet, that somebody else was the Messiah. Some people say he wasn't even real. But Jesus Christ makes the difference. The Bible says every knee's going to bow, tongue's going to confess that he is Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name that can save you. Not the Baptist church, not being a good person, not being baptized. The Bible tells us that Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the difference maker. But they knew who he was, and he says, "What will we have to do with him?" They start begging him for mercy. Look at verse number 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, for oft time he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in feathers, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devils into the wilderness." As we mentioned earlier, this man had some problems. He had some major problems. You go over and you read in Mark chapter number 5, which is telling a different aspect of this story. And that's one of the things that people like to say, the Bible has contradictions. You read the book of Matthew, you read the book of Mark 5, you read the book of Luke chapter number 8. They tell the story, but they all give different viewpoints of the stories. And you can see right there, it proves there's a contradiction in the Bible. No, it just gives you different viewpoints. Mark chapter 5 tells us that he went through and he cut himself. They couldn't contain him. He was a wild man running through the graveyards. But put yourself there. You see this man. You want to help this man. He's living in the graves. You know, I don't want no one to live in the graves. I wouldn't want to go to the graves at nighttime. But that's where he abode. He had no clothes. He had no chains. They put chains on him. What did he do? He broke them asunder. They said they put feathers on him. No, I'm this old country boy from Georgia, brother cowboy. And every time I read that word feather, that's why I encourage you to study the word of God. Every time I read the word feather, you know what I thought about? They tarred and feathered him. I thought, what in the world are they going to do putting feathers and tar on him? But that's not what it's talking about. They're talking about the chains upon his ankles. They tried to chain that boy to the tree. They tried to chain that boy to the grave. And what did he do? He busts asunder. Supernatural power. That's signs of a possessed man. But he had a huge problem. And put yourself there. How would you feel? Would you want to do something for him? Put yourself as the man that's possessed. I'm sure if he lived today, Brother Tony, that he would have went to AAA. I'm sure he would have went to counseling. I'm sure he would have went to the acupuncture. I'm sure he would have went to counseling, went to the latest new thing to help him. Again, put yourself there. We're going to find out he has a bunch of demons inside his head. Could you imagine being schizophrenic and hearing thousands of voices going on in your head at once? You don't know which one's you. You don't know which one is speaking. Not only did this man have a problem, but his family had a problem. This was somebody's father. This was somebody's husband. This was somebody's brother. This was somebody's uncle, somebody's nephew. How would you feel? You know, we all got that family member that is a problem to the family. That family member that nobody wants to go around. That family member that we better not say his name or is going to start a fight. Not only did the family have a problem, not only did he have a problem, but the town had a problem. Every town has that troublemaker. That person that goes through and makes trouble. Every time you see him, you know what you do? You go the other direction. You see him coming, you start looking through your stuff, trying not to make eye contact with them. They tried to help this man the best way they knew how. He said, Brother Steve, why are you harping on this? Because we're going somewhere. They put chains on him. They put feathers out. They kicked him outside the town. They tried just to get rid of him. Put yourself there. What would you be doing for this man? Look at verse number 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils are entered into him. What in the world is a legion? Again, go back and you study the culture, study back in Jesus' time. A legion was the largest unit in a Roman's army. You go back, you find out there's usually about 5,000 fighting men in the legion. So this man, you go back to Mark chapter 5, and he is a little bit more specific. He says, hey, we are legion, and there's 2,000 of us in there. Could you imagine 2,000 voices being in your head? Could you imagine how insane you would be? But here's the best part about the whole story. Look at verses 31. It says, and they besought him that he would not commit them to go out into the deep. I believe that out into the deep is into the bottomless pit. But they're begging him. He says, hey, don't cast us out into the deep. We have mercy on us. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountainside. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Verse 33, and went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake where and were choked. So we see they're begging Jesus. They say, don't to the bottomless pit. Don't send us away. Don't do away with us. Put us into the swine. Here's a little side note for you. Does anybody know why they wanted to go into the swine? You go back and you study demon and demonology. You're going to find out demons are always around water. You realize this little animal right here is 75 to 80% water? And of course, they're right beside the ocean. But he says, hey, don't kill us. Don't do away with us. Don't send us to the bottomless pit. We want to go into those little swine. And I can see them. I see Jesus saying, go. Here's a thought for the night. He was willing to be merciful to these demons. Why in the world would he not be merciful to you? You realize you're precious in the eyes of Jesus? You realize God loves you with all his heart? Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. The Bible tells us that God's thoughts are towards us, are many, and they are precious. God loves you. God wants to fellowship with you. There's nothing that you have done that he's not willing to forgive you. There's nothing you have done that God is willing to abandon you. God is always there. He's willing to have mercy on these demons, and he's so much willing to have mercy on you. There's nothing you have done that will separate you from the love of Christ. Look at verse 34. And they that fed them saw what was done. They fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's the best place to be right there. That was the difference between Mary and Martha. Martha was a servant of God. I would love to have a church of Marthas. Always serving, always washing the toilets, always cleaning up, always working, 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 working. But the Bible tells us that Mary found herself at the foot of Jesus. Not only would I want a church full of Marthas, I like a church full of Marys. That's the best place to be, is at the feet of Jesus. So they come, they saw this man who was filled with demons, and it says that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. We saw earlier, this man had a problem. Not only did he have a problem, his family had a problem. Not only did he and his family had a problem, but the town had a problem. Guess what happened? The problem solver showed up. No matter what problems you're going through, Jesus is the problem solver. Just one word from him and all your problems can go away. Just one act of him and everything will be peachy in your life. There's nothing that you're going to go through in 2021 that God can't fix. But here's the thing. We were talking about this at Bible Baptist on Thursday night. We were going through the prayer. And it says, in all things give thanks. What I think that verse means, I could be wrong. He says, in all things give thanks, in everything give thanks. I believe it was not we should thank God for the COVID. I think that'd be kind of smart, Alec. It's like you tell your kids that go clean your room and they don't go clean your room. And you say, because you didn't clean your room, I'm going to put you on restriction. Thank you for that. They'd probably be picking us up off the ground, would they not? So I don't think it's necessary thanking God for the COVID. I think it's thanking God that he's going to see you through the COVID. He's going to be the problem solver. He's going to go through it with you. And then at the end, we give glory to him and help other people through it. But he had a problem. Jesus showed up. Jesus healed him. And so put yourself there. How would you be feeling right now if you were his husband? If you were his brother, his uncle? How would you be feeling if you were the mayor of this town and you come walking out and here he is, you tried to help him, you sent him to AA, you sent him to acupuncture, you sent him to prison, you sent him out of the town, you tried to put clothes on him, you tether and fard him, tether and feathered him. You tried to help him out everything you can. You spent all your money on him. You walk out and he's sitting clothed in his right mind at the foot of Jesus. How many of you be happy? I'd be doing backflips. I'd be praising God. I'd be taking my shoes off, brother, running around, thanking God for it. But, don't you love that word, but? I mean, something's going to come. Look at verse number 37. And when the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into a ship to return back again. Wow, what was their problem? The problem solver showed up. The problem solver solved their problem. Now they want to cast him out of the city. They want him to leave. I encourage you to be students of the Word. I ain't going to tell you the word I skipped over from explaining to you, but there's one word I skipped over that's going to explain the whole thing. But think about it. They had a problem. He solved their problem. How many times in our life has a problem solver showed up in our lives and we didn't thank him for it? A lot of times we take for granted of the problem solver. A lot of times we take for granted of the blessings he gives. We sing that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And we need to change that song. We need to count them two by two and ten by tens and thousand by thousands. God has been so good to us. He has helped us through so many problems that we turn our nose up at him and not giving thanks to him. The one, just think about it. He could have went to the town and healed everybody in that town. I'm sure within that town they had lepers. They had blind people, deaf people, lame people, people who's almost ready to die. But what did they say? Get out of our town. Jesus is not going to stay where he is not welcomed. That's why America's got to be careful. I believe the reason America is one of the greatest nations is because of how we honor Israel and how we honor God. If you turn your back on God, that's not a good thing to do. Verse number 38. Now the man whom the devils were departed besought him that he may go with them, but Jesus sent him away saying, return unto thy own house. He says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I had a problem. You solved me from my problem. You saved me. I want to go where you go. And Jesus says, no, go back to your hometown. But here's the thought. The town had a problem. The people had a problem. Jesus would go in and heal everybody, but instead he told them to leave. Why? Why were they not interested in what Jesus had for them? Why were they not interested for their whole town to be healed? Now remember, we started out in Leviticus that the swine is unclean. They were supposed to have nothing to do with that pig. They weren't supposed to eat it, look at it, raise them, or do nothing with it. Go back to verse number 36. It says this right here. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. What does that word means mean? You go back and you look up in the Webster Dictionary, it says this right here. Means mean a revenue. Means mean a money or financial resources. Means mean the cost. Means mean an action or system by which a result is brought. Why were the people so distraught? Because they had something that God said no, no. God get rid of that thing that God said that they weren't supposed to have and they were upset about it. Let me ask, what's in your life that you got that's forbidden by God? We all got that little secret sin, do we not? We let God into our house. I preached on that verse over there in Revelation where he says, I stand at the door and knock it. If any man will hear my voice and open, I'll come up and sup with them. You know, a lot of people like to use that verse for salvation. That verse has nothing to do with salvation. You go back and you read the context around that. God is talking to the churches. God is talking to people who are already saved. The Bible tells me that once I get saved, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So why is he on the outside of my heart? Why is he begging to get in? Because I have kicked him out with my little piggies. We sing that song, Three Little Piggies. One little pig went to the market, two little pigs, three little pigs, four little pigs, five little pigs. How many pigs do you got in your house? How many things do you got in your heart saying, God, I like my sin. These people in this town says, God, we want you to heal this man, but we don't want you to get rid of our piggies. We like our sin. We like what we're indulging in. What it cost them? It cost them their pigs. It cost them that which God told them not to have. You want healing in your life? You want God to bless you in 2021? You know what you got to do? You got to get rid of your piggies. I don't know what your piggy is. I don't know what sin that you hold within your heart, but I know one thing. God knows what it is. And the Bible says that my sins, or in the way of the sermon tonight, my little piggies have separated me from God. The Bible tells me that God wants to take our little piggies and cast them as far as the east is from the west. God says he wants to take our little piggies and cast them into the deepest sea. God told me that I need to forsake my sin, pick up my cross, and follow him. You want to do something great in 2021? We got to get right with God. You go back and you look at a verse that we like to use for revival in 2 Corinthians 7:14 or 1 Corinthians 7:14. It says this right here, that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know what that word humble means? It means to break yourself down, to put yourself down low. And the only way that we're going to do that is by saying, hey, I'm nothing and you are everything. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, that's getting into the Word every day. That's going to church. That's praying. That's not worrying about what the world says that I should do with God. It's what the Bible says I should do with God. And they should seek my face and turn from their evil ways. You know what he's saying? Get into the Bible, says, hey, I'm not supposed to have this little piggy. You know what I need to do with it? I need to get rid of it. I need a clean heart. Matter of fact, the verse says that if we would draw nigh to God and cleanse our hands, cleanse our heart, we need to get rid of that sin. What little piggy is in your life? But here's the danger thing. You know this little piggy? They look cute, don't they? A lot of times we get rid of our little piggies and the little piglets come around. The little things are adorable. But you know what a little piglet turns into? A big problem. A lot of problems, what problem we have is we have a pig in our life. We have a thing that we need to get rid of. We get rid of it and later on we pick it back up. And the Bible says it was worse than it was from the beginning. What little piggies are in your life? You want to do something great for God? You want to lead many people to Christ? You want to do something awesome for God? Where is it going to start? Getting rid of that little piggy. We got to stop playing with sin. Sin will keep you from salvation. Sin will keep you from the blessings of God. Sin will keep you from the helpline. You want the blessings of God? Let's clean house tonight. Let's start 2021 off right by getting right with God and then do something for Him. Let me show you one more verse. Go to verse number 39 again. Go to 38. It goes, now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. So basically what Jesus said, there's a man who the demons were cast out, says, Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus says, no, go back to the town and show them that this wasn't a fluke. Go back and show them that I made a difference in your life. Go back and be a witness to his town. Let me show you something that God showed me not too long ago. Look at verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, remember that Jesus cast the demons out into the pigs. The pigs ran off the hill. They all drowned it. The keeper of the pigs went to the town, told them what happened. They came back and he told them to leave the town. They want nothing to do with him. I don't know how much longer it was, maybe a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 6 months. I do not know. Jesus returns back to the city. Look what it says. The people, what's that next word? Gladly received him. And they were all waiting for him. What made the change? This man that was filled with demons got rid of his piggies and went and told a town about a God who can save them. Went and told them about a God who can save them from their problems. Went and told them about a God who will love them unconditionally. And what did the people do? They got saved and they were waiting for Jesus to come. Here's the thought. Sin that we need to get rid of our lives to draw closer to God, that we'll draw more people to God. That's the whole reason we're here. That's why God allowed you to live through 2020. So in 2021, you could point more people towards Him. That's why we are here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for all your wonderful blessings. Thank you for the truth that you revealed in this chapter. We all got problems. But I sure thank God I know the problem solver. His name is Jesus Christ. As the theme verse is for this year, there's nothing impossible with you. No matter what situations I'm facing, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can resolve it. But I also know that if you choose not to resolve it, but allow me to go through the problem, that you're going to be right there with me. The Bible tells me there's nothing that you've given us that we are not able to overcome. And the reason we can overcome it is because we know the problem solver. Lord, I don't know what, as the terms of the message tonight, I don't know what piggies are in people's lives. I don't know what sins we are battling. But I know this right now. Tonight, we need to give you those. We need to get rid of those so we can do great and mighty things for you. At the end of 2021 next year, I want to look back and say, thank God for the great things you allow me to do. And the only way to do that is we seek your face. We draw close to you. We seek you and get rid of all the junk in our lives and seek to please you daily. Lord, I just thank you for the message. Thank you for the time to stand forth and share your word. Just be with Brother Rudy as he comes and close the invitation. In Jesus' holy and precious name.